was blind.
John 3:19, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. But there's good in the world too, but that good must come out, and in due time. Family, welcome to the Watchman for Jesus Bible study for tonight. You know, I'm going to dedicate the broadcast here in a minute. I keep saying I do. I kind of remind myself because once I get started, sometimes I get up on a trail. Everybody's teaching the love of Christ. That's good. That's a good thing. Everybody wants to hear about the love of Christ, but we know that. And when I sit there in the pulpit, in the pews, going to a service, hearing about the love of Christ and all that, I know it's good, but the love of Christ won't keep me out of hell if I continue to perform evil in his eyes. They're not teaching that. And it's not taught on purpose. That's the problem. I had a family member to go out a little while ago, not long ago, and while out doing shopping, they ran across a preacher in a certain Baptist church local. Chit-chat, so forth. Subject came up about God, of course, and the Bible. It said, oh, we use at this Baptist church, we use the New King James Bible. Are they ever going to learn? Why? Why is it so difficult to use the only Word of God that is in existence of any book in the face of this planet that's ever been written? They avoid the one Word of God, the King James Bible. They avoid it like the plague. It befuddles my mind. I just can't, you know, unless they're under control. Frauds. 501c3. Freemasons. Whatever. I don't know. Some reason. Certainly not common sense. There's got to be some other reason why they use fraudulent Bibles. Literally. It's amazing. Dedicate the broadcast, and I don't want to talk tonight. I want to talk tonight about why does God allow evil to exist, and I'll talk a little bit about how can a loving God send people to hell. That's coming up now frequently. My battery that I had recharged just died on me. Interesting. In any case, I had to change the batteries. Excuse me. That's odd. But anyway, so that's what we'll talk about tonight. Because it's not covered. Great that we have a loving God. But what is it on my side, on our side, human side, that can keep us in favor of a loving God? You know, don't that sound kind of needed? They're not covering in churches about repentance, a lot of them today. How Satan operates, to know what to stay away from. So few are teaching this. And spiritual warfare, they're not teaching that either. Makes you wonder. Lord, tonight we thank you. Coming together again tonight for Bible study. Thank you, Father, for giving us this network and guiding us along, Father, with your Holy Spirit. Father, lead us tonight as we get into these subjects and matters and share them back and forth, and Father, get insight to what we can pass on to others. Father, we ask you to revisit, to hear our prayers about family members and about healings of those that's asked for healings. Father, protect ourselves against the devices of Satan that tries to interfere and tries to redirect us against other paths. Protect us by the blood of Jesus, Father, that we will be protected to learn, to study, to handle these divine appointments, that we'll be able to lead others to Jesus. And Father, give us an opportunity in the near future, in the future, that we can engage with others, that our work will be passed on. And that, Father, you'll keep us strong in the faith. And give us the testing. Give us that conviction if we fall away. Tonight, Father, we pray to you. Ask you for your guidance. And these things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You know, what you do in Bible study is what you're going to be doing for eternity when that time comes. Is eternity of Bible study. Eternity of worshiping the Lord and helping each other. That's what it's going to boil down to. Everything else is a distraction. Everything. You can't name one, almost nothing in your life that's not a distraction presented to you by this world. Literally, to keep you distracted. By design. Not just happenstance or just happens to be that way. No, this is created and orchestrated, planned on purpose to keep 7 billion people doing their thing in their own language to keep them distracted from the love of God and from being saved and born again. You might say a scorched earth policy to the extreme. All this is going to go by the wayside when people come to reality, when the tribulations begin. You can only imagine. That's why they're going to come, to get people's minds back on what's important. And I'm guilty as much as anybody. But also see this end game approaching. So is hell real? And does God really send people there? Can I just sin and have just good old time and get through my bucket list as I've done in my past? And then, yeah, if I die, yeah, you know, I'll just go to sleep, ho-hum. Wake up and the Lord say, oh, you're going to be judged now, and then annihilate you and you've been a sinner, goodbye. Oh, okay, I don't want to stick around anyway. That's what they're trying to get people to believe. That's what's not going to happen. Because you see how flippant I became at that point? That's reward. That's not punishment. Satan is not in hell. Yet. The fallen angels that are coming out now, seems like, at all ranks, are not in hell. Yet. They're in what's called the second heaven. The heaven, the physical universe, is between the third heaven and the first heaven, which is earth, third heaven, where God resides, the known universe that we look up in the sky and see, and the invisible universe we don't see around us, but is there, which is inclusive of the beings that exist in the second heaven, are the high-level fallen angels and demonic entities. You can't see them. They can manifest only by ritual, witchcraft, human sacrifice. They can manifest and are channel or overshadow a human being. They're now taking bodies as their vehicles. It's getting more and more aggressive out in public. Now, when this thing breaks open, those that have the demons that are hiding in the body, not really coming out until people are medicated, vaccinated, and then the demon will show itself through the body. That's going to happen. People are not prepared for this. Spiritual warfare will be up close and personal. Christians are going to be shocked and amazed and surprised and horrified. Because that realm is going to come to fruition here on this planet that belongs to them right now. How can a loving God send people to hell? That's a question that's asked, and people can't imagine it to happen. You know, God made many objects and living creatures he loved and enjoys, but they have no capacity to love him back. The angels in heaven have free will. Some will love him back by praises. Others rebelled and were sent out of the third heaven, even angels. Stars and rocks and trees and animals are like this. It says creation, but they can't love him back. But also God chose to make creatures with capacity to love and to feel and free will, which means you can love unconditionally. But mankind, with knowledge from the fallen angels and science, are creating robots that will love you, but just hope you don't get electrocuted if they short out. That would be embarrassing, wouldn't it? This is not speculation. It's happening now. Japan and other places, they have actual life-size dolls that talk to you and move around, do all kinds of things. Creatures. He wants creatures to love, to feel, to reason, and to be able to make moral choices based on their respect and love for him. He wanted to have a personal relationship with the beings that he made. The kind of relationship that requires all these capacities that I've mentioned. God also wanted to demonstrate the magnitude of his love to each and every one that he created, and the extent to which he would go for the well-being of his creatures that he created. And you know, above all else, God wants to display to all his living creatures his full glory. And you know, they say, well, that's egotistical. No, because if he doesn't do that, to show who really the creator is and his full glory, who do you think we're going to glorify? It's called humanism. Ourselves. Did we create ourselves? No. Did we create the earth and everything in it? No. And no. So we don't have a right to claim the glory because we didn't create anything. We are the created. So if we don't give him glory, then us with free will give ourselves glory. So because of his love for us, and knowing what will happen in the human mind, he demands we give him the glory, which he rightly deserves. You know, the majesty also, the attributes that make him alone worthy of our worship. You say, well, I don't know if I agree with that. You say, well, I'll say, well, really? Well, then look at Lucifer, who was created perfect. He was created perfect. He was one of the few allowed in the throne room with nine stones. I never understood how that worked, really. But on his supernatural body, Lucifer, the true name of Satan before he became Satan, the true name Lucifer, the light bringer, the worship bringer, had these nine stones on his body. Supernaturally, I don't know how that worked. But each stone had nine frequencies that equaled individually the nine different orders of angels. Each one of them with a different frequency of worship, of voice, if you will, that kind of equals rank. Frequency equals rank. Well, Lucifer had a higher level frequency than all the others. Michael, Gabriel, the same. So all the angels didn't have the rank, you might say, to go into the throne room of God. As in the same way that man didn't have the, back in the days of Judea, that man did not have, those Jews back then didn't have the ranking structure, the priest. They could go into the throne room behind the curtain in the worship. Only the rabbis did, of certain status, So when Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, it opened up that by tearing that curtain from the top down, allowing access for all to the throne of God. That's what that represented. Tearing the curtain from the top down, and it's a thick, thick, thick curtain that God just tore it like it was a paper. Allowing all access to the throne. Well, Satan would receive the praise of the angels, the nine orders of angels, in the millions, each one singing their praise, and each stone collecting that frequency. And then Lucifer would go into the throne room, open up like the first MP3 player, playing nine frequencies at once, that God could receive the glory from all the angels through Lucifer. That's a big power there. That's a lot of power. He's a choir orchestra of heaven, you might say. So you'd think, well, he should be satisfied with that, right? Well, he wasn't. Isaiah 14:12. What happened? Luke 10:18. Satan fell like lightning. Lucifer tells he wanted to ascend above the Most High. And that's not the Babylonian king that they talk about. And then when he wanted to ascend, 14:12, well, he ended up descending, Luke 10:18, and became Satan. It was that simple. His supernatural britches got a little too big for him. Him and a third of the angels fell. He convinced the others that we can do this. See, the angels had battles and wars before mankind. But there's a creation period there that's pretty close together. They were waiting for Earth to be created. Sons of God took the daughters of men. When the foundations, Job 38:7, when the foundations of the earth was laid, the stars in heaven sang, angels, and the sons of God, higher level angels, shouted for joy. That's all before the creation of the earth. Then when it was created, that's what they did. Just like you had a child first born. And then, of course, his children, Adam and Eve, sinned, and there you know the rest of the story. He wanted to multiply himself. The angels don't have the Spirit of God in them. They're created beings. They're not a part of God. They're separately created. They had free will. They had free will, and they freely chose the path they took. And they freely got their butts beat and sent out of heaven into the second heaven that God created. And then he created hell to put them there, which is yet to come. Now, having created beings able to choose to love and worship him, he wanted to fully exhibit why they should do so. Hell was created for Satan and his angels. But then if you follow them, guess where you're going to end up? As the elite are going to do. With these goals in mind, God created humans. And the first humans chose against God and doomed their descendants to do the same unless God intervened. And this God did by sending his son. God in human flesh, he came. Christian sects today, some of them disagree with that. They can make up their own theology all they want. Matter of fact, so does Walt Disney. It's called Mickey Mouse in Disneyland. Doesn't mean it's real, but he can make it up if he wants to. God sent his only son. The wages of sin is death. We as humans cannot come back from the dead on our own. So God in human flesh came down to suffer temptation, separation from the Father, and death. See, God ordained which men and women would respond to this kind of unthinkable act of love. Yet mysteriously, each person's freedom and choice is real. We're in a serious game today in life. It's that choice. And the game is, Israel, to keep you from making that choice in many different ways by distraction that I've talked about in my broadcast for 5 years. C.S. Lewis wrote The Great Divorce. He describes the inhabitants of hell who took a tour bus to visit heaven. Well, they hated heaven. They didn't like it at all. And they found it boring and uncomfortable and as miserable as they were in hell. It was the home where they fit. Of course, this is fantasy, naturally. But God had made them, and or they had made themselves, the two are the same, unable to enjoy the eternal presence of God in a mere Christianity. C.S. Lewis also describes how a person becomes a citizen of hell. C.S. Lewis said, and I quote, "People often think of Christian morality as a kind of bargain to which God says, if you keep a lot of rules, I'll reward you. If you don't, I'll do the other thing. I do not think that's the best way of looking at it. I would much rather say that every time you make a choice, you're turning the central part of you, the part that chooses, into something a little different from what it was before. Taking your life as a whole, with all your innumerable choices, all your life long, you're slowly turning the central thing either into a heavenly creature or a hellish creature. Either into a creature that's in harmony with God, with other creatures, or with itself, or else into one that is in a state of war and hatred with God, and with its fellow creatures also, and with itself, to be the one kind of creature in heaven, is heaven, that is its joy and peace and knowledge and power. To be the other means madness and horror, idiocy and rage, impotence and eternal loneliness. Each of us at each moment is progressing to the one state or the other." Unquote. So, it isn't cruel for God to send a hellish creature to hell because they wouldn't fit anywhere else. If it isn't cruel for God to allow children to be born who will grow up and turn themselves into hellish creatures, for this is necessary for the good of all his creatures to display of his glory, if you ask a non-Christian if they wish God had never made them, if he says yes, he'd be miserable in heaven. Yet you may be sure that God has brought good from his existence in ways he doesn't know. It's that free will that's the killer. So what do we expect God to do for us? You pray that he'll give you a Mercedes-Benz for your life. This is humanistic. For you to be happy makes God happy. You know what Victoria Osteen said? Boy, that drew a lot of fire, didn't it? But she was allowed to do that. She was told to do that. Because that is Satanism as its core. People don't realize that. Look how many people said when she said what she said on the air. They're not dumb. These people are smart. They know what they're saying. She has given the authority to bring out this humanistic theology to see what would happen. What can you expect or trust God to do then? He will provide food, clothing, shelter, protect you from physical death until he judges it time to bring you home. Nurture you with his unconditional love you crave if you let him. Give you a task that's eternally important. Empower you with the abilities to do it in his will, not your own. He'll send you partners you need to share in this kind of work. If you trust in him, he may furnish you guidance you need if you're willing to listen. Supply all the trying people and circumstances, the suffering needed, you need to grow into likeness of Christ, to raise you soul and body after death, to reign with him eternally in joy, reveling in his love. At that time, You know, your need for love and significance will be met fully. You'll lack nothing. But you can't expect God to give you everything you want or think that you need to protect you from pain or to see to it that people love and respect you, make you materially rich, make all the decisions for you, make you as happy now as you would be in the next life. Can a loving God send people to hell? Do I have all the answers? No, I don't. But I can tell you, in Daniel 12, verse 2, it says, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt." So does hell serve a purpose then? Let's look at it from another angle. If you take hell out of the Bible, there is no hell. A universalist kind of idea, notion. And if you remove hell from the Bible, at the same time, you remove any notion of a just God and a trustworthy scripture. If there is no hell, God is not just. If there is no punishment of sin, heaven is apathetic toward the rapists and the pillagers and the murderers and mass murderers of society. Because their judgment's yet to come. Do not we talk about the Rockefellers or Rothschilds, all these guys, the murders they've committed of all the citizens of every country, every military is on their shoulders. And they die rich or they die no judgment. They just die, they had their life, it's over. Do you think that's it? Anton LaVey found out differently on his deathbed. But Stephen found out differently as he ascended, or not ascended, but as he was brought up by God when he was dying. He saw Jesus in the heavens say, "Come up." So both saw where they were headed. It is thought that 2 or 3 days before you're going to die, assuming it's not instantaneous, you start to see where you're headed. Your silver cord loosens out a little bit. Your spirit starts to see past those in the room and starts seeing the heavenly or angels, things that the people there talking to you don't see. You know, your body, when you're about to die, say in hospice and other places, your body, there are certain parts of your body, your feet, your hands, your fingers, your eyes, something. They have a checklist they can check about, like in hospice and other places, where certain parts of your body turns purple or green or whatever. They have a checklist. He's got 3 days to live. He's got 2 days, so he's got 1 day to live. How do they know that? Because certain parts of your body are starting to die within 3, 4, 5 days or so. Again, assuming it's not instantaneous or surprise. So during that period of time, that silver cord is loosening up and your spirit is seeing other things. It's letting go of the body. That's why the body's dying. You see? So the body reflects that loss of that life force as it's dwelling down. And the silver cord is letting a little bit of rope out, you might want to say. You know, if there's no hell, God is blind toward the victims that's already happened. The millions and millions of children that's in the United States that's been massacred, ritualized sacrifice by our own governments and people within it for child sacrifice at holidays. Let's call it for what it really is. And the Wicca that kill animals and kill humans for their own sacrifice. You don't think judgment's not going to come upon them? How's that going to happen? Because God created hell for that. But it's still forgiving if they want to repent before that time comes. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Except those that's given a reprobate mind. Ooh, that's a different story. But only God can do that. God knows. He's the only one that knows. With no hell, God is blind toward the victims. He's turned his back on those who pray for relief. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And he means it. And it's coming. For those that's done what they've done to the innocent. If there is no wrath toward evil, then God is not love. For love hates that which is evil. He doesn't hate the person. But he hates the evil. The person does the evil. The person goes to where evil would be. Hope you got that, because I couldn't say that again in 1,000 years. To say there's no hell is also to say that God is a liar. His scripture is untrue. And the Bible repeatedly and stoutly affirms this, what's the word, dualistic outcome of history. Some will be saved. Some will be lost when Christ comes. This is not being taught in the churches today. It's a shame. I think those 3 days or 4 days before someone's going to die, God gives them a glimpse and an opportunity to take him as their Savior. You know what? This also matches the fact that the Illuminati, especially for their actors and actresses and political leaders and so forth, keeps them secreted at their older age from the deathbed confession. That's drastic. If one of the ones that have worked internationally, scientifically, other avatars of high position, or on their deathbed or toward the end of their life, decide to repent and then start telling the truth, that can be drastic. So when they know they're at the time of death, like FDR, they're sticking places like the Yalta, or certain actors and actresses disappear to re-brainwash them. If they don't, they sometimes at 28, 29, 30 years old, they rebel by shaving their head or by going on drugs or other ways. They rebel against their masters, their mind control handlers. They rebel like Debbie Gibson. Mickey Mouse Club also. Not Debbie Gibson. She was born again. That's why her career didn't go very far. I can't think of the other one's name. She shaved her head. Doggone it. Anyway, Madonna. Once they're in there, they're in there. But when they start to rebel against the mind control, they have to put them somewhere to have them kill themselves. Take their soul so they don't become born again. It's disastrous for them. That's how it works. Because they've given their signature and their own blood to Lucifer. So why does God allow evil to exist? Why did he just wipe it out? Well, there goes free will. You become a robot. You know, it's one of the most haunting questions that we face today concerns the problems of evil. Satan is prince of this world. He's god of this world, according to 1 Corinthians. People forget about that. Oh, Britney Spears. She shaved her head. That was her. The reason she shaved her head, she was rebelling against her handlers. That was her. That was why. That's why that happened. This whole thing's evolved around this. Britney Spears, Debbie Gibson never got anywhere much, really, because she was a born again Christian, and she was confronted with, "Okay, you're doing good now. If you got to sign this, you can continue on." Oh, I can't do that. Why is there so much evil in the world if there is a God? Why isn't he just doing something about it right now? Some people assume that the existence of evil disproves the existence of God. Sometimes the problem of evil is put to the Christian in the form of a complex question. If God is good, he must not be powerful enough to deal with all the evil and injustice in the world since it's going on. If he's powerful enough to stop wrongdoing, then he himself must be an evil God since he's not doing anything about it, even though he has the capability to do so. So, actually, which is it? Is he a bad God or a God that's not all-powerful? Yeah, you know, the biblical writers, they complained about pain and evil. Evils have encompassed me without number. If you go to Psalms 40, verse 12, in the King James Bible. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. There are more than the hairs of mine head, therefore my heart faileth me. Whoo. So why is my pain unceasing, my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? If you go to Jeremiah 15:18, it says in the King James Bible, why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuse to be healed? Wilt thou be altogether to me as a liar and as waters that fail? You know, the King James Bible just scares the dickens out of most preachers. Makes you wonder why. Even writings today, you have to double and triple check what you write because these preachers, these authors, they run from the King James Bible with both feet and red ball flyers. You can show them the inadequacy of the other Bibles. Their minds don't even comprehend it. It's like they're hypnotized or something. And this is the majority that do this. It's perplexing. Romans 8:22. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. You know, evil's a problem, obviously, and we also admit that if God created the world the way it is today, he would not be a God of love, but rather an evil God. I talked to someone today when I went to a place, and he said, well, Tom, God created angels, and the fallen angels that turned out to be evil. The angels are created from God. I said, no. Only man was image of God. The angels were created separately. Well, no, a part of God creates the angels too. So he's alluding to that God had some evil in him. I said, no. And then he came out with it. He said, well, God created evil. I said, oh, no. Evil in the Bible is calamity, disasters he allows, yes. Not moral evil. Oh, they're sneaky. Really sneaky how they pull that in. Scriptures make it plain that God did not create the world in the state that it is right now. There's no evil in God. Free will means rebellion. Rebellion is evil. Rick Joyner says we should have a military takeover of the U.S. government. Romans 13 says all governments are ordained by God. Rick Joyner, Morningstar Ministries, Morningstar is Lucifer Ministries. Hint, hint. Chuck Baldwin, all these others, inferring rebellion. Has ever dawned on these pseudo-preachers that God has allowed this Freemason Jesuit control of America because we are created in a, unfortunately, a Luciferian agenda, going back to the year 1400, slaves in 1600, a flag with pentagrams on it. Should I go on? The occult that controls this nation always has. They worry about or talk about, promote the knowledge that Muslims kill, cut people's heads off, rape little girls and all this. And that's true and that's bad, but these are trained Muslims by the Luciferians. See, Islam was created by the Vatican to be a peaceful religion at the beginning to pull people in. And around the 6th century. And then later created and funded the invasion of Northern Africa. The Vatican did this using Islam. That's how it worked. There's a deal struck between Islam, the leaders, and the Vatican Church. And the Vatican Church funded the invasion of Northern Africa and the invasion on the Holy Lands with an agreement to kill Christians and Jews, protect Augustinian monks and Roman Catholics, and secure Jerusalem for the Vatican. And for that, they would fund the Muslim armies. And they did. And they got good at it. But they wanted to keep going. Lust of power got over on the Muslim kings. They wanted to go to Europe. And that was the purpose of the Crusades, to stop what the Vatican had started all along. The Vatican, the cover for the ancient mystery schools of religion and Satanism, Luciferianism, covered over by Christianity, which is based on pagan roots, is now reconstructing itself back to where its original roots were today. This year, actually, they're talking about reconstructing it back to the pantheistic religion that it was. A re-spiritualization of the Catholic Church, what it was originally. Ooh, boy, oh boy. Because they figure this generation has been trained for it. Through the education, politics, religion, everything else. They're now bringing it out in the public view. Heading toward the New World Order. People aren't seeing this. Scriptures make it plain that God did not create the world in the state we are now, called the Garden of Eden. They're trying to create their own Garden of Eden. But evil came as a result of the selfishness of man falling for the lies of the devil. You know, the Bible says that God's the God of love. Sure. He desired to create a person and eventually a race that would love him. Sure. But genuine love cannot exist unless freely given through free will and choices. So man was given a choice to accept God's love or to reject it. That was at the Garden of Eden, was it not? God had to give them a choice. Here's a tree. We don't even really know what the fruit was. It doesn't say. But the taking of that fruit was not the reason why they were cast out or they began to die from the sin. That's what happened when they came mortal, by the way. Becoming mortal is on your way to death. But it was the act of taking the apple. So now they try to say, well, the trees were actually people. Taking the fruit was actually sex. That's how they tried to pervert the Bible. Christian Identity and Arnold Murray and Armstrong and all these people and these other sects pervert God's word with their own interpretation, which clearly it's not. But God had to give this Adam and Eve a choice to exercise their free will. And that was the weakness that Satan saw in Adam and Eve, that they didn't have the knowledge. But I can give you knowledge. It's God you're with. He's got you in prison. And he wants to keep you dumb. look, you're not going to die. You can be like me. Be like a god. You can be like supernatural. All you got to do is eat that apple. Go ahead. Or whatever fruit it was. Heck, it could have been a pomegranate. Who knows? But it was something that looked beautiful. It was something that was there. It was something that Satan knew they needed, wanted to have, the knowledge. And you know the story there. So this choice made the possibility of evil to become very real. Without that choice, you don't have free will. Free will, you freely love. And that's how it works. So when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, which they did, they didn't choose something God created, but by their own choice, they brought evil into this world. God didn't create evil. And there's a Christian that, very well schooled in the scripture, told me today that God created evil. I said, oh, no. I know what scripture you're talking about. I know exactly which one. It's in Isaiah. It's certainly not true. God did not create evil. Isaiah 45:7. Oh, they try really, really hard. God's neither evil nor did he create evil. Man brought evil upon himself and had to do this, selfishly choosing his own way apart from God's way. So because of this fall, the world now is abnormal. Things are not the state that they should be in. And this was anticipated by God because throughout the Old Testament, there was 365 prophecies of the coming Messiah. That's what the sacrifice of innocent lambs was all about. So God knew this was going to happen. God taught the law to Adam and Eve, who taught Cain and Abel. Abel did the right thing and sacrificed and so forth, and Cain did not. The law was brought to Abraham first. Then he brought it to Moses, who wrote down 613 instructions, but God himself gave the Ten Commandments written in stone. A copy of the original ended up in the Ark of the Covenant. That's in heaven today. It's not found by anybody. And the blood they find on it will not be the blood of Jesus. That's coming, family. Be ready for it. And the blood on the shroud, which is a fraud and a fake. The shroud is a fully wrapped man, is it not? With long hair and blood or whatever. But see, the Bible says otherwise. A napkin was laid upon his face, and that napkin was folded when they arrived at the tomb and it is gone. Napkin was folded. When the master folds the napkin, that means he's coming back. But when the master throws the napkin down on a plate, just throws it down, the servant knows that he's done, or he's finished, not coming back. Well, Jesus folded the napkins, means he's coming back. Not to remove the plate. Man, as a result of the fall, was separated from God. Nature is not always kind to us, is he? Or, I guess in some cases, she. The animal world can also be his enemy. And you know, there's a conflict between man and his fellow man, to say the least. None of these conditions were true before the fall. He always gave us the opportunity. That's why the laws are supposed to reflect the Bible. You change the laws, you take away the opportunity. Judgment will then come down upon that nation. This system of laws. Any solution that might be given to problems that mankind faces has got to take this consideration. That the world as it stands now is not normal. Do I have to tell you that? Evil is here. It's real. It's also temporary. It's not permanent. It will not win. It's full of wind, but it won't win. Evil will eventually be destroyed. So evil is made to look good. So those that's perpetrating it, whew, that was awkward. Those that's perpetrating the evil don't see it as evil. They see it as a necessary necessity. Ends justify the means. Yeah, that's not true. There's a new world coming in which there will be no more tears or pain, and all things will be made new. Revelation 21:5, and we may go over a little bit tonight if it's okay. Revelation 21:5 says, "And he that sat upon the throne, behold, I make all things new. He said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." So paradise lost will be paradise regained. But their utopia is looked at as a different way of total control. They even have a show named Utopia. Oh boy. God will right every wrong and put away evil once and for all in his time alone. And you know, those that born again Christians, you have a justification for fighting evil, immorality, and all this corruption around us. The world is not designed with evil in it, in mind, that is, and the believer is a real basis for fighting these social ills. Josh McDowell talks about this, and Don Stewart. You know, Christian does not condone wrongdoing by claiming it's God's world. Neither does he assume that everything that happens is agreed to by God either. So God does not desire evil, nor does he ever condone it. It happens. He hates evil. Doesn't hate the person. He just hates evil. And the Christian also is not only to despise evil, but he's obligated to do something about it. Sin is real. Because the Holy Spirit came down, even thinking it is the same as committing adultery. Just thinking it is the same thing as committing it. It's not something that the believer accepts as the way things ought to be. So we identify with Jesus. We're supposed to be. And we have a duty, not to judge, but we have a duty to call things wrong that are wrong. Speak out when evil is overtaking good. It's called reproving and correcting, not judging. We can't judge moral evil. But you can sure read the scripture and sound off when you see it. Speak out when evil is overtaking good. You know, a Christian is not fighting against God by fighting social problems. Natural disasters and crime and mental retardation should not be the accepted order of things. A lot of these things are created by the Illuminati, as we already know, and the mental part is created by vaccines that's put into the body and other products that's made to do just that. I'm not going to go there right now. But you know about the vaccines, the aluminum, the fluorosis, all this stuff they've got, HPV vaccine, HIV vaccine, all that is created for these purposes, for that reason. It's a medical dialectic. They create the problem, give you a solution. That solution creates a new problem. They got a solution for that, and just never stops. But this is not in God's future kingdom. And the preachers today are not preaching about sin. They're not preaching about redemption. They're not preaching about repentance. And they're not preaching about the thousand-year millennial reign. They're not telling you what you should expect. They're not preaching about spiritual warfare. Matter of fact, a lot of it's taken out of the Bible even. Why is that? Some people still bothered that God even allows evil in the first place. They question the wisdom of allowing it to happen. Dorothy Sayers, she put the problem of evil in proper perspective. Quote, "For whatever reason, God chose to make a man as he is, limited in suffering and subject to sorrows and death. He had the honesty and courage to take his own medicine," Jesus did, God did, whatever game he's playing with his creation, he's kept his own rules and played fair. Josh McDowell says that he can create nothing from man that he's not extracted from himself. You know, that's why Jesus Christ came down and talks about the Trinity, the only begotten Son of God, is God himself come in flesh. So that way, he himself has gone through the whole human experience. Did Jesus, the angel of the Lord, not come down to see Adam? Did he not? Was he not in the furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Nebuchadnezzar said so. We threw three in there. I see four, one like the Son of God. Wait a minute. Hold on. That was the Old Testament. How did he know that? Because God put it in his heart, still connected. How about that? He himself has gone through the whole human experience, having his pants changed by his mama, being fed by a woman, skinned his knee, I bet you more than once. But at 9 to 12 years old, he was teaching the rabbis. From a trivial irritations of family life and the cramping restrictions of hard work and lack of money to the worst horrors of pain and humiliation, defeat, despair, and death. He is a man. He played the man. He was born in poverty, died in disgrace, and through it well worthwhile. You find in Dorothy Sayers' Creed or Chaos, 1949 on page 4. You know, the Bible tells us that God's purposes are beyond our understanding. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. We go there. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And Paul, I've been told on the internet, the YouTube, by some rabbis, they call themselves Gabriel and all this, on the YouTube recently, actually, you need to stop using Paul's writings. Really? Do tell. Oh, yeah. This is like past 2-3 days. You know, in a similar vein, Paul wrote to the church at Rome, oh, the depth of the riches in Romans 11:33. He says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. In other words, his dimensional capacity is much higher than our dimensional capacity, like our dimensional capacity is higher than dimensional capacity of a possum or a monkey. And the dimensional capacity of a monkey is higher than that of an earthworm. It's dimensional capacity. God defined means your God is small. For us to understand God of this universe and of heaven, of earth, is like pouring the ocean into a pint cup. I hear so many people say, well, some of this don't make sense to me. Really. It doesn't me either. Some of it, and that's not my... That's okay, because I don't have the dimensional capacity that God has. You want to debate this? No, because nobody can debate the Word of God. As a matter of fact, the word debate is included in the sins of fornication and murder. Is debate also. Some of these theologians that agree to these debates on TV and all this stuff, like Kenneth Ham and all the rest of them, they must be reading a different Bible. Because the word debate is considered the same level as fornication and murder. And yet they debate the Word of God on TV or some forum or whatever. They can't debate the Word of God. It's impossible to debate the Word of God unless you're God himself. They don't see this. I don't understand how they don't see that. Debate works for the other side every single time. The Bible informs us how and why evil came about. It tells us front and center, back and forth. It doesn't tell why God allowed it to happen. However, we do know that God's all wise and all knowing, and he has reason for allowing things to happen, which are times beyond our comprehension. But that free will is part of the reason, because we made the wrong choices. But without the right, without choices, you don't have free will. It's a double-edged sword. Well, tomorrow part two of this, we're going to talk about hell is real, key facts about eternity, some key passages about hell, because this is coming up, and it's not being taught. You want to teach it so people stay away from it. You know, but they're not doing that. Teach the millennium of what's to come. They're not doing that either. Why aren't they doing that? And why does Isaiah say that God created evil? We're going to talk about that tomorrow. And, wow, we're there. Jesus Christ already won on the cross of Calvary. That's going to be the bottom line of everything going on today. It's going to come down to that. That truth. We're going through the machinations of, oh boy, fake World War III and Ebola vaccine and flu vaccine and insurrection in the United States and the fallen money powers things going on. Federal Reserve being eliminated, and here comes this, and disclosure, and blah, 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 blah. All that is going to happen eventually when that first trumpet sounds and that sun darkens, the earthquake goes, and all bets are off. Then you'll see judgment upon a sinful world. And you're not going to worry about Agenda 21. That's the least thing from reminder. Life in outer space or Disneyland or whatever, Dancing with the Stars on TV or your next rent payment. All that's going to go out the window. People will have something more important to worry about. That's what the tribulations are for. Destroy the technology and get your attention before that time comes. Some of them be too late. This world will change. Look for the signs of the times. Be patient. Pray. Spiritual warfare. And be ready. Family, have a good night tonight. And I hope you gained something tonight. I learn something every time, whether I'm on the air or just myself. There's always something. Always something. But boy, I'm going to tell you, you're going to be tested. And the fallen angels are coming out of the woodwork, literally. I happen to know this. They're starting to manifest physically. Literally. It's going to get worse. Or more numerous encounters, for sure. Something's going to be up close and personal. Time's coming, family. Get ready. Y'all have a good night tonight. We're going to close in prayer. And then we're going to go our ways. Lord, thank you tonight for Bible study. Father, we pray for a great week this week, Father, that you'll lead us in Bible studies and lead me in the broadcast, Lord, that we'll bring things out and hopefully, Father, things people will be touched and, Father, we'll gain, Father, that we'll all learn, and, Father, to give us opportunities to spread the gospel, to spread the truth, and, Father, to give us that conviction and lead us in the right path. We pray for our families, but, Father, most of all, we pray tonight for those that's been taken by these, by the evil that's going to be used for sacrifice, Lord, that you'll protect them. You'll let them escape. Father, that you'll give them comfort. And Father, you convert covens. Father, that be your will. Father, we pray for an awakening of those that are born again, that Lord, that you give them the voice to speak. And bring them out of the churches, Lord, that they'll start speaking the truth inside the churches. in preparation for those times to come. These things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, family, got to go and let y'all know, as I do always, our Bible studies and broadcasts are played up at highportradio.net. John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, John Kirkler at highportradio.net. New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, he plays our broadcasts and Bible studies, and we appreciate that. He has sponsors up there, family, and look at his website, highportradio.net. Find out some of his sponsors if you need work done or whatever it is, and use his sponsors. And give him a call every now and then or email thanking him for doing it, for broadcasting our Bible studies and broadcast. So y'all have a good night. And you can visit my website, watchmeforjesus.com, and my Facebook, watchmeforjesus. And I thank you all for coming by, and we shall go. So good night. God bless. This is your watchman. Signing off. And it had looked into his eyes. The love was shining up from him like sunlight from the sky. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet release. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.